And also, let me just say, I guess I'm pretty spectacularly unqualified to be speaking about adoption when other people know far more than me. But let me just say, I've known two really good friends, probably my best friends have adopted, some friends who live in Cardiff, they've adopted three children, and a friend, Andrew McKenna, some of you might know, who was the pastor down in Market Harbour, now pastor in London, they've adopted as well. So it's been a privilege for me to share in their story and know them intimately as they go through that. And for Sue and I don't know, many people might not know, 8-9 years ago we started the adoption process and for a number of reasons didn't carry on with that. So I suppose I've got some kind of understanding of some of the pressures that it brings and an insight into it. Turn to God's word, and we're going to read in Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. So we're pitching up in Galatians chapter 4. Galatia is a place in Turkey, a modern-day Turkey, where East meets West. And Paul and Barnabas had gone there, if you know the story, and they'd preached the gospel and planted some churches. And after that, other people had come in and had disrupted the message of the gospel in Galatia and had told these people to follow the law in certain ways. And so Paul is writing in Galatians to correct that message and to put them on the track again to having faith in the gospel. And he does that in a number of ways. First of all, he establishes his own apostolic authority, but he contrasts faith and the law throughout it. So he contrasts God's promises. As you read Galatians, you read a lot about God's promises. He contrasts living in part of God's family. And he talks about faith all throughout Galatians. And we're pitching up in a small chunk where he's talking about being part of God's family. So we are going to look at it's a six-point sermon this morning. Don't worry, it should be fairly brief. 6 points, just contrasting faith, which is explained through this medium of adoption, and following the law. But before we do that, I've got a short quiz for you to try. So if you've got a phone, probably you need 3G or 4G coverage. If you could take it out now and go to kahoot.it, okay? So it might take a couple of minutes. Kahoot.it, if you've got a phone, kahoot.it. The dodgy soundtrack that we had earlier on was because of this webpage. So if Adam, if you could just pull up the webpage. It says kahoot.it again. Anyone able to go to kahoot.it? And if you've got there, you need to type in this code, 563549. It will ask you for your name. If this doesn't... Oh, Bean. Okay, no naughty nicknames, by the way. They'll be blanked out. Sandy, Luke, Bean. I might stop it because this could go on for a long time, but yeah. Okay, what we're going to have just in a couple of minutes, we're going to have three questions, okay? And you're going to vote, and on your screen you'll see what to vote. So I don't know if you can still join once we've started, but let's start it now. So three questions, some very simple ones. So, are you ready? Three questions. What's 2 plus 3? So you should have some symbols on your screen. Just click the one you think. 4, 5, 10, it depends. That's a mathematician's answer for you. It depends on the size of your 2 and 3. Look at that. Very good. Well done. Okay. Next question. Who was the shortest person in the Bible? We've got Zacchaeus, Ichabod, Hephzibah, and Bildad the Shuhite. So 16 people went for Zacchaeus. I actually don't know the answer. I just put it there. I quite like Bildad the Shuhite. He's obviously very small. And finally, perhaps a slightly more serious question. There is no right or wrong answer here. What did Jesus achieve for us? Choose the answer which most speaks to you. There's no right or wrong answer. We've got justification. We're made righteous by God. Newness of life, we're made new creations by God. Adoption, we're made part of God's family. Don't just choose that one because it's Adoption Sunday. I mean, feel free to choose it, obviously. Forgiveness of sins, we're forgiven our sins by God. So just interesting to see what people think. 5 people choose justification, 3 newness, 8 adoption, 10 forgiveness of sins. Thank you. Just a bit of fun, bit of interaction. Really, the Bible talks in lots of different ways about our salvation. It paints a picture of different facets. There's not one narrative that totally captures everything about our salvation. Sometimes it borrows pictures of law courts and talks about our salvation. Sometimes it draws stories from the marketplace and talks about commerce and trade as a picture of our salvation. Sometimes it talks about families and adoption, which is obviously what we're thinking about. So to fully understand the work of Christ, we need all of these pictures to fully understand it. And we're just landing on this one in adoption. So if you could turn back to Galatians chapter 4, we're going to pick up 6 things. Thanks, Adam, if you could. So, 6 things. First of all, adoption is costly. Are you able to press the button for me, Adam, or not? Sorry. I've got the clicker here. I might be able to coordinate. Adoption is costly. Let's just look at verse 4. It says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those under the law. Redeem, that's the word I want to think about. It's a word from trade, the marketplace. We perhaps don't use the word redeem much anymore. Redeem, you might redeem a voucher of some description. But really, redeem means to buy something back. If you remember shops that were called pawnbrokers, you could take a watch or a ring and give it to the pawnbroker, and they would give you some money back in exchange. And then at a later date, you could go back and buy your ring or your watch or whatever it was back. You'd buy it back, often at an exorbitant rate. Or from slavery, you could redeem someone out of slavery. And that's the image that we have here. And it's very, very costly. What did it cost God to redeem us? Well, it cost the excruciating pain of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Adoption is costly. It was costly for God. And I want to just draw some parallels between the adoption we have of our salvation with the adoption that we see, the human adoption that we've been thinking about. Adoption is costly, isn't it? There's the cost, emotional cost, the cost of time and effort and energy, the trauma that perhaps some of the children come from. There is a cost to adopting. And if the cost that God went through to redeem us causes us to praise him and worship him, then how much more perhaps should we be honoring those who we know who adopt? There is a cost to adoption. Secondly, adoption is legal. If you notice those first few verses, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, and in verse 7, you're no longer a slave, but God's child. There is a legal transaction that's going on in adoption. Once you're not part of the family, and then you are part of the family, there's a legal thing that goes on. Now, I don't fully understand all of that. Other people would be able to answer questions about the legal implications, but there is definitely a legal side. There's a cost to it, but there's a legal side. And for us, in our adoption as Christians, there's a legal transaction that goes on. We were rebellious sinners, and then we're taken into God's family. We're loved by him. Well, in the same way, there's a legal transaction that goes on in human adoption. Notice that the passage talks about being slaves and then being sons. The firstborn son had a special place, enjoying the privileges of the family, the livelihoods, the responsibilities, the blessings of being the family. And we are given that same kind of status with God in this transaction. I think it's probably worthwhile just making a point as well. We're talking about slavery and the change to sons. That film that we watched with the song was very moving, wasn't it? The slavery that goes on with unaccompanied children. And I know Home for Good have a campaign about unaccompanied minors. The statistics are horrific. Last year in Germany alone, about 4,700 children went missing from the migrant community. 4,700 just dropped off the radar. And so it makes me personally angry when I see newspaper stories that we have, 200 children come in. And, I think we should be treating people with an open hand. And if some get through that might be slightly too old, then in my book, so be it. We're reflecting something very deep of the Father's heart when we treat people with an open hand. And so this legal side is really, I guess, important, isn't it? If you're ever caused to doubt something, it's quite nice perhaps to go back to a legal document and look at it and remind yourself of your status. It's legal. Thirdly, our adoption involves the Holy Spirit. If you notice, because you're sons, God sent, this is in verse 6, God that sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba's a strange word to use. I don't mean the 70s and 80s band who write ridiculously catchy tunes. It's an Aramaic word meaning daddy. God pours his Spirit into us so that we can call the Heavenly Father daddy. It's not just about a costly transaction. It's not just about a legal standing. It's about having God's Spirit so that we can call him daddy. I hope that's reflected. Some of our songs just seem to focus on legal transactions in our salvation. And yet really the heart of it is God's Spirit given into our hearts as we are saved. And surely that's the same for human adoption, isn't it? It's been such a privilege to me to see adopted children be able to call their adopted parents daddy. Or my friends in Cardiff, I remember going on holiday with them to their grandparents' house and seeing adopted children interacting with grandparents. And there's a whole web of interconnected relationships. And that love that's shared as children are brought into a family, it's the same idea. Our adoption means that we can call our Heavenly Father Daddy, and in the same way, adoption means that these children can call their parents mummy and daddy. And that happens in all certain sorts of situations. Rosie, my daughter, she doesn't always call me daddy. Sometimes when I've been naughty, it's Christopher. She's only 7. But when she's really happy or joyful, she'll often say, daddy. Or when she's sad, it's daddy. It's a special word, isn't it? And we can call our father daddy, and adopted children can. It involves the Holy Spirit. Adoption is planned. Look at the very first words in our chunk in verse 4. But when the set time had come, God sent his son. This wasn't done on a whim. Our salvation wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't God's arm being twisted behind his back. He'd better do something about it. God planned to save us, to adopt us from the word go. And I know from seeing friends adopt how much planning needs to go in it. The adoption process takes a long time. The searching questions that Jenny alluded to, there's lots of planning that needs to go on to make it happen. Now, I guess adoption might be a second choice, but it doesn't, it might be sequentially second, but it doesn't have to be secondary. Having natural children is a wonderful, wonderful blessing, but so is adopting children. It can be an equal blessing. And I think especially as we're building up this picture, I think it's showing something of God's heart. So adoption, our adoption and human adoption is planned. Adoption provides an inheritance. Notice that's the point of our adoption in these verses. Verse 7, you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. Excuse me. With our adoption, we're brought as firstborn sons to be heirs of God. Our inheritance, the Bible says, it never spoils or fades. My mum and dad are really enjoying being part of the ski generation, spending the kids' inheritance, rapidly getting through it as they've just retired. But our inheritance in the Lord never diminishes. It doesn't diminish over time. It doesn't minimize or get smaller. We have a beautiful inheritance. Think of those verses in Revelation that there'll be no more weeping or crying, and God will be there. That's our inheritance, an unbroken, perfect relationship with each other and with Almighty God. Well, in the same way, isn't it wonderful to see children brought into a family inheritance, enjoying all the blessings and the benefit of being part of a family, the blessings of those relationships, the blessings of a stable home, comfort, water, shelter, freedom from fear, and ultimately, I guess, depending on the families, a financial inheritance as children are brought into their families. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? Adoption provides an inheritance. And lastly, 6 points. Adoption involves rescue. Do you notice that from these verses? God sent his son to redeem those under the law. The law it's talking about is not just a law to keep social order, but the Bible talks about the law of sin and death. And our adoption means freedom and life. We're saved from something, and we're saved for something. We're saved from guilt and sin and death, and we're saved for freedom and for relationship. Well, in the same way, human adoption involves a kind of rescue, doesn't it? We've heard about perhaps the trauma or neglect that some children go through. If you read into it, there's attachment theory where children don't make attachments with adults. And children brought into an adoptive family experience some kind of rescue. Now, I don't want to sentimentalize it too much. Some of those problems that children might experience might never be got over. But at least there is some sort of rescue that's going on. In fact, if you look at the statistics, the children that age out in the care system, the statistics for them are absolutely damning, whereas children brought into adoptive families are likely, just purely on statistics, likely to be more educationally successful and so on. There is a kind of rescue that goes on in adoption. So six things. I hope you can see these 6 points in our salvation. And I hope that it makes you appreciate all that we have experienced as Christians in our adoption. And it's just an image, isn't it, of what goes on in human adoption. Or maybe I should put that the other way around. Human adoption is a great image. It's like a worked example of what we've experienced in our salvation. And so I think the challenge for us at Avenue, what does adoption mean for us? Well, hopefully it makes our hearts sing in our praise and our worship. Hopefully it's something that we can meditate on and think about. But also, there's a challenge for us, isn't it? I believe, as Phil said, that adoption really gives a brilliant reflection of our Heavenly Father's heart. It's a real insight into what God has done for us. It's an amazing thing to see. And so the challenge is, are we going to step up? And maybe for some of us, that does involve some of us walking the path that Phil and Jenny have walked. It's something to think about. And if you want to find out more, then look at the Home for Good website. I know. Are we becoming like a supporting church or an advocate church? Or I'm not sure what the terminology is, but it's something that we see as important. The Bible talks about caring for widows and orphans. In previous generations, Christians have been known as caring for orphans. And it's something that through Home for Good and other initiatives, the church is perhaps waking up to something that it's forgotten for so long, taking our responsibility seriously. We shouldn't over-sentimentalise it, should we? It doesn't mean that these children are going to be perfect and that they're all going to become Christians, but it's an absolutely right thing to do as we reflect what we have experienced as Christians. So why don't we take a few moments to think about this. Just one last thing to say. I think there are implications for us at Avenue as well. It might not be right for you guys to adopt. That's a decision you would have to take. But for all of us, there's a part to play. You know, that phrase about it takes a community to raise a child. Imagine if we had lots of children here with additional needs. Maybe children who don't come from tertiary educated middle class families. Maybe children who don't find it easy to sit still and to engage with what goes on in church. There's implications for us as a church as we seek to honour people who are fostering and adopting. So I don't think there's one person in here who doesn't have a part to play in that. So why don't we take that moment, just a few moments, to think it through. I want you to praise God for your adoption. You can see the 6 points just from these verses. We have experienced something wonderful and it should make our hearts sing. But also think about your response to human adoption. Just a few moments. Father, we want to praise and thank you for the adoption that we have received as Christians, an adoption that we haven't earned, an adoption that you have given us through your Son by the power of your Spirit. We praise you that you were gracious to us, that you've changed our legal standing, that you are willing to bear the cost and the penalty. We thank you that you've poured out your Holy Spirit into our hearts. We thank you that you can give us an inheritance that will never spoil or perish. We praise you, Father, because you have rescued us, rebellious sinners. And we want to thank you that in some way we can reflect that in human adoption. Thank you that it's special to your heart. So thank you for our dear friends here and others known to us beside who have adopted our children and who are fostering children. We pray for our response, be it a minor one, a supporting one. We pray that Avenue would be known as a good news story because we are welcoming and open. And we pray that you'd help us as we plan to care for children with additional needs. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.